Oh, no.
Needs to run home.
What did he say?
Parshas Vayigash is the parasha of Klal Yisrael going to Golus. Parshas Klal Yisrael going to Golus. And it's a parasha of Klal Yisrael surviving Golus, just about. Klal Yisrael went through 210 years it wasn't just unpleasantness, it was persecution, it was a holocaust for 210 years. The children were bricked up and in a physical level, in a spiritual level. They had a Tumah of Mitzrayim. Tumah of Mitzrayim was like living in the armpit of spirituality. It was the most horrendous experience Klal Yisrael ever imagined, and it just scraped through. The Mentesh Shari Tumah. But it survived. Klal Yisrael survived. So this parasha deals with how Klal Yisrael actually survived in Golus. And now, Rahman al-Islam, we in Golus as well, how are we supposed to survive the surroundings and by the way, if you weren't aware of it, we're in Golus. We're still in Golus today. We may be living in Eretz Yisrael, and you may be living in our own land where you have a Jewish Prime Minister and you have a Jewish police force, but we're in Golus both physically, as you may know, and certainly spiritually. And therefore, the limudim from this parasha is supposed to teach us how to survive in an environment of Golus, how to survive in a situation where everything is out to destroy us, and manage to pull through in the way Klal Yisrael pulled through. So I want to just base on a very very interesting machlekus meforshim over here in Perik Mem Hei Pasuk Yutes. Perik Mem Hei Pasuk Yutes. And I want to build it up, and I think at the end you'll see how it all comes together. In Perek Mem Hei Pasuk Yutes, Yosef reveals himself to his brothers earlier on, and he sends them back to Mitzrayim. He sends them back to Eretz Yisrael to bring up Yaakov. By the way, I've mentioned in the past, in different years, how the Hashkofa, how different people see different events, and how badly they get it wrong. If anyone saw Yosef going down to Mitzrayim, what would they think? Poor guy. Nebuch is going in chains, he's being sold as a slave. Nebuch. If you saw Yaakov going down to Mitzrayim, what would they think? Well, wow, look at this. This guy's really going in style. What's ultimately happening? Yosef went down in chains to become a king, and Yaakov went down in style to become a slave. His entire family became slaves. So what you see is not what you get. Yeah, it's a process. So the parasha says in Perek Mem Hei Pasuk Yutes, "Va'atu tzivesi zois asu kuchulechem meres Mitzrayim." Take Mitzrayim agolos letapchem. Take agolos. Take chariots for your letapchem, for your children and the sheichem, for your wives and the sosim as avichem uvasim. And you should bring them. Interesting. Doesn't talk about how they're going to get there, but that is what should be done. Fine. So the pasuk later on in Pasuk Chav Zayin. They told everything Yosef said to them. And Yaakov saw the Agolis, he saw the chariots. Asher Sholach Yosef, that Yosef sent Losis Oisle to carry him. Ruach Yaakov Avihem, and the spirit of Yaakov again became reignited. So what's Ruach? What Ruach is referring to is like Rashi. Chi Ruach Yaakov, Shorso Olof Shchina Shipurushim Enenu. His Shchina came back to him. Now, what exactly did he see in his Agolis? Says Rashi, it's called Divrei Yosef, Simon Masalehen. He sent a Simon. But Ma Hoya Oisek Kashapirish Mimenu. What Yaakov and Yosef were busy learning when Yaakov and Yosef separated themselves. What were they learning? Parshas Egla Rufo. They're learning Parshas Egla Rufo. We all know what that is, right? Egla Rufo. We have a person dead between two cities, not sure who killed him. To bring an Egla Rufo. You bring this Egla Rufo. The Zeroshnel of a Yaris Argolis. That's Pashah, he saw the Yaris Argolis, saw the Argolis. Asher Sholach Yosef, Valeinema Asher Sholach Paru. Asher Sholach Yosef means Yosef sending a message back to Yaakov and saying, we're learning Egla Rufo? Fine, this is Egla Rufo. Balaturim, by the way, says, Vayaras Agolis, the Gematria Ro'o Behulchis Egla Rufo. Okay, that's Gematria Ro'o Behulchis Egla Rufo. Shaila is, what was Yaakov doing? Teaching Yosef the Loch of the Egla Rufo before they're going down to Mitzrayim, before he went to see his brothers. And what was he saying, by the way, I remember Egla Rufo. What's the message behind this? What's the idea behind this? Why Dafka Egla Rufo? What's the idea? Yaakov teaching Egla Rufo. Very, very unpleasant thing to learn about. Person being killed between two cities. Yaakov knew what was going on with Yosef. He knew that his brothers hated him. They knew the brothers wanted to kill him. And Yaakov went against all the other brothers, all his sons' inclinations. And he said, okay, let's see what's going on. He told him, oh, let's see what's going on. But he knew the brothers hated him. So why teach him about Igla Rufa, about a person being killed between two cities? You don't know who killed him. Very unpleasant thing. Talk about Hilchos Purim. Yeah, something nice. And then Yosef says back to him, and he says to him all about the Igla Rufa. What's the idea behind it? So Mefarshim explained this. It's a beautiful vault. It's based on the Chassam Sofer. They say about like this. What's Pesham Egla Rufo? What's the idea behind it? So the Gemara brings down that the Zakenim, the people that the Zakenim, they say you don't know Shofchul Sadamazeh. The Zakenim got to come out and say we did not kill this person. So it's a Gemara. Do we have any Havamina that the Rosh Hashivas and the Gedolei Torah killed this person? Of course not. Now, of course not. They don't do such a thing. So the Gemara rather is talking about that they say and they declare openly that we did not let him go without food and water. Yeah, we gave him a packed lunch. Again, ask the Mefarshim, did he die of hunger? He died, somebody killed him. So what difference does it make that they say they didn't send him out with packed lunch? He didn't die of hunger. He died of murder. Somebody murdered him. So how on earth do they exonerate themselves by saying that we gave him a packed lunch and therefore got nothing to do with it? What would they have to do with it if he didn't give him a packed lunch? He didn't die of hunger, he died of murder. Somebody murdered him. What's the connection? What are they saying over here? Yeah? You understand the kasha? The vault is like this, and it's an unbelievable vault. So the place says like this, I want to give you a moshel that I heard from Chaim Kaufman, Zeicher Tzaddik Livracha. If any of you ever been mountain climbing where you're basically all connected by ropes, I'm not sure exactly the term to this, what's it called? And basically all connected by ropes. What's it called? Repelling? No. You're connected by ropes, and if Chassu Shalom, you know, and you're taking this huge steep mountain, and you're taking a peg and you're knocking it into the mountain, and you put a foothold, and then you tie yourself to that, and each one's pulling the other person. Yeah, each one's connected to the other person. One person falls, yeah, in trouble. And then he helps the other person up. Now let's say, for a moment, the person on the top is high enough, connected to the rope, that the person on the bottom is just above the icy waters that would kill him if he gets into the icy waters. He's just high enough. In other words, his feet are just high, just above those icy waters, and he's climbing up. That's how they're starting off. What happens if he falls down 2 meters? He's going to pull down, everyone's going to fall down another 2 meters. What's going to happen to the guy at the bottom? He's going to die. What happens if the guy at the bottom is about to die and he manages to climb up 2 meters? What's going to happen to him? He's going to save the guy at the bottom. The way Klal Yisrael works is that we're one big body. We're all connected by ropes one to another. Everyone's connected by rope. And therefore, when the guy on the top is holding strong and he's going up, he's pulling everybody, even from the lowest rungs, he's pulling everyone up with him in their various levels. But he's taking the guy who's in icy waters above that high level. If Chas V'Shalom, the guy on top, falls down, then he's basically going down, everyone's going down as well. They're all going to be ending up in this icy water. The guy on the low is going to end up in the icy water. What the Chachamim are saying over here is, Yedeinu lo shofchu es adam hazeh means that we gave him food and drink. What does that mean? We were sholim. We were absolutely perfect in Al Ben Adam HaChaveri. Nothing lacked in Al Ben Adam HaChaveri. Our responsibilities between man and man was not lacking here at all. We were perfect. And therefore, if ultimately the lower rungs, i.e. the guy murdered this person, it was not because of us. It's not because we were falling, we failed that level, never made it to the high enough level to make sure the murderer doesn't murder somebody. We reach ultimate levels that we're not responsible for the guys right at the bottom, that they did what they did. That is what he's saying in the Shkhus Adam Hazeh. Do you understand? That is Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa is appreciation that Klal Yisrael are all connected one to the other. And every person is important. And if you do something wrong up on top, then it's going to pull everyone down. And if you do something well, good up on top, it's going to pull everyone up. Everybody's connected. Everybody has an important role. Every person has an important function in Klal Yisrael. We're all one big family, all one big mechanism that's all tied one to the other. Yaakov Avinu was telling Yosef, you've got a big machlekes with your brothers. Tough. It's very hard. Terrible machlekes. But don't say that they're not worth anything now. Don't say through your machlekes that I am the worthwhile one and they're nothing. There's no such thing. In Klal Yisrael we're all connected. In Klal Yisrael we all have a point of view. In Klal Yisrael we're all one big mechanism that pull each other up. They may be able to pull you up in that one case and me maybe to pull them up in another case. But don't say that my derech in Klal Yisrael is correct and the other person's derech is wrong and has got no shaykhus with me whatsoever. Chassidus is right, mitzvahs are wrong. Mitzvahs are right, chassidus is wrong. This is right, that's wrong. There's no such thing. Each person has a derech that can pull up the other person as long as they're doing the same shemayim. And therefore you say some machlekes with Yehuda. Terrible machlekes. And machlekes with the Yisrochel. Terrible machlekes. But don't say you're right and they've got no shaykhus. Egla Rufa teaches us that everyone's connected. And everyone has a possibility of bringing another person up, or Chassid Shalom is doing something wrong, pulling another person down. Be connected. Be tough. Understand and appreciate that if you're holding up high, you're pulling everyone else up with you. Don't disconnect yourself from all the other surroundings because I've got my own derech. So Yosef, when he's in Mitzrayim, back to Yaakov. Yaakov, I remember that lesson. And I appreciate that everyone has a hashpah on the other person. And I appreciate that to survive in Golos, we need each other. As surviving Golos, we will appreciate that everyone has their own derech, and everyone has their own mahalach, and everyone, as long as we're doing the same shemaim, is going to help the other person up. And that is how I'm running Mitzrayim. Don't worry, you can come down to Mitzrayim. And when Yaakov saw there was no machlekes, when Yaakov saw that Baruch Hashem, Yosef had the idea, there's no more agmas nefesh there, he didn't have the upset, and the petchi Yaakov aviyam. Yaakov got his simcha back, and he got Ruach HaKodesh. That's one derech, Egla Rufa. The other mafarshim, that's Kenyan Bala Tosa says, Agolos, what does Agolos mean? Agolos means wagons. How do you get to Eglon? And everyone says, Agolos, Egla Rufo, what you can't read, you can't translate. Agolos means wagons. How does Agolos come to Eglon? Eglon is a calf. What's got one thing to do with the other? Yeah, I relate to you. Do you see that?
It sounds similar.
It sounds similar, but we're more sophisticated than that. You know, Agolos, Agolos. Sounds almost, you know, almost bizarre. What's going on here? So that's Kenin Balatosis, not Peshat, they saw the Agolos. And it's got to the Egla Rufo. That's Kenin Balatosis, which the Balatosis say, Ochelik is Rashi. And they say that Agolos we're referring to over here are the Agolos we have in Parshas Nosi. What are Golos you have in Parshas Nosi? Klal Yisrael brought the Nesim of each just been through the whole Parshas, you know, in the essays. 2 days ago, Zayis Chanukah. He read through again and again. Salam ben Sua brought Kovano, Yikaras Kesev Achara, Shlishim Mayo, Mishkalo, 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 Kesev, Shem Shem. He brought this beautiful silver plate with this amount of Ketores and these animals, beautiful, each one the same day with the same different machshavas, the different, yeah, all the Gvaldi, all the different 12 tribes. No stinginess, they were generous, they were careful, each one brought everything with a full heart, wonderful. Later in the parasha says, and they brought Agolos. They brought Agolos. What are Agolos?
Wagons,
right? Says the Pasuk, each one shared a wagon with another tribe. Two tribes bought one wagon. In other words, there are 6 wagons brought by the 12 tribes. They shared the wagon. Asked them, Mephoshim, why are they so kind? Why are they so stingy? He'd be giving silver platters with Ketores. But a wagon, how much does a wagon cost? You know, a second-hand Subaru, how much does that cost, right? So you've got a wagon. How much does a wagon cost? How much does it cost already? Well, Klal Yisrael, these are people representing Klal Yisrael. What are the wagons for? They're carrying the Kli Mikdosh. I mean, so what big deal? What are you sharing it for? Says the Sephorno, a Murray de Gavod. The Sephorno says, the reason why you have it is because you want the Shechina. You want Hashra Shechina. You want Shechina to be sorry with everything you do. Vayhi b'shurim melech, b'his aseif rosh e'om. When is Shurim melech? When is HaKadosh Baruch Hu the melech? B'his aseif rosh e'om. When the rosh e'om and the Nesim get together, yachad shiftei Yisrael. When it's together, the Shvatim of Klal Yisrael. In other words, how do you create HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence? How do you create the situation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gives his Shechinah on Klal Yisrael when it's Achdus? When I and you can, we have competition by willing to share and pool our resources in order to join in for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs for his Avodah. I'm willing to do my own individual thing, but if we need to join together and then I push away the competition in order that they be covered Hashem, I'm willing to do that. That is the Koyach of the Nesi'im, to join in together, to two to buy one. That was a strength, it was not a weakness. So Yaakovina was saying to Yosef, Agolis. The Nesi'im, they bring Agolis. You know why they brought Agolis? Because of the Sephora's vault. What's the Sephora's vault? You know the famous Sephora's vault, Yosef? Yeah? Yaakov de Israel, remember that vault? Of togetherness? That is what's going to allow us to survive. In Golis, what's going to allow us to survive is each one's going to care for the other person. Everyone's going to join in. Everyone's going to be part of a group supporting the other person. Unfortunately, come on, Islam. There's so many different splinter groups in Klal Yisrael. You know, there's this and there's that and there's that. Klal Yisrael get together when there's a war. Today there's a war started. There's nothing less. A war has started in Eretz Yisrael. People are opening up their homes. Strangers, total strangers, taking their families into their home. The same person, they call him Hamor because it took away his parking space. These people are allowing them in, kind of into their homes, total strangers into their homes. Right? Yachad Shifti Yisrael, we're going to survive in Golos by Achdus. Yaakovina said to Yosef, you have to understand, appreciate, that you have a problem with your brothers, but come on, it's Achdus. You may have differences, you may bring your own Avodah, but Klal Yisrael works, the Shekhinah only works if you have Achdus. Remember that. Go to your brothers and remember this message. Yosef sends back, Yaakov, I'm just telling you, I know your message, and we're going to survive in Golos and Mitzrayim with Achdus. And when Yaakov, and when Il Sholim, when Yosef gave over that message properly, and he's willing to join up together with the Nesi'im, join up together with his brothers, in other words, to join forces, what happened? The Shekhinah came back to Yaakov. Why? Because Vayhi Vishur Melech with Asir Roshayom, Yachas Shifte Yisrael. The Shekhinah comes back to Yaakov Avinu, with Chi Yaakov Avihem. The Shekhinah came back to Klal Yisrael at that moment when Yosef said, I'm willing to work with Achdus. What do you think? That's a vault. In other words, in order to survive in Golos, there's two things. Number one, we have to appreciate that we're all responsible for each other on the Ruchnius level. On the Ruchnius level, all responsible. We can't disconnect and say this part of Klal Yisrael is wrong and that part of Klal Yisrael is wrong. I'm going to have my own special derech and nothing to do with anybody else. No, we're all responsible and each have the courage to pull the other person up, and Rahman is on the other way as well. And therefore, we've got to make sure that in Golos we help each other up in Ruchnius. We take the other person on the hand, number one. Number two, another idea is that on a physical level is Achdus, appreciating that everybody needs the other person in order to work with the other person. And that is the idea as well of Achdus surviving in Golos. The Meshech Chochmah says the third Mahalach. The Meshech Chochmah says that we see over here the Yaakovina got a Maris HaLaila. The Pasuk says, but in Perik Menvot Pasuk base, V'yomer l'gimni shob a Maris HaLaila V'yomer Yaakov V'yomer Hineini. Yeah? He came to Yaakov a Maris HaLaila. What's something of Maris HaLaila? He came to him at night. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu always come to Yaakov Avinu at night? You notice that? Yes. But always at night. Yeah. But not so well. To the other obvious, Avraham Avinu came to him in the middle of the day. No. Brisbane, I'm sorry, but during the day. Yaakov was always at night. Over here is at night, and the stream and it's at night. What's going on here? Why at night? Why always at night? Says Meshech Chochmah, night is his man of Golos. Night is his man when Klal Yisrael are going to darkness. Golos, Yaakovina represented Golos. Yaakovina represented going to Golos. Now, how do you have Golos? Yaakovina got to Nevuah as well in Mitzrayim as well. He said, how do you have Golos? How do you survive in Golos? You don't survive in Golos unless you started off when you didn't have Golos. In other words, nobody can bring a korban at night. Not like bringing a korban at night. A korban at night is possible. If I was makriv a korban during the day, and I can then offer up the aim room at night. Leftovers, I can bring up at night. A korban at night is possible, but I can continue. Yaakov Avinu got nevuah at night. You don't usually get nevuah at night. You get nevuah during the day. right? And you don't usually get Nevuah in Chutz Laaretz, you get Nevuah in Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu is showing Klal Yisrael a very important message, that because he got Nevuah in Eretz Yisrael, he can get Nevuah in Chutz Laaretz. Because he got Nevuah during the day, his Nevuah can come to him at night. In other words, how do we survive Golus? How do we survive as Nebuch people, people with no Shaychus, with Kedusha and Tahara on our own backs? How do we do it? We connect with those people who did have that Shaychus. We connect with Nevuah that came beforehand. We connect, Yaakov Avinu had Nevuah in Eretz Yisrael, that's why I can have it in Chutz Laaretz. We as ourselves are nothing. We as ourselves have no Koychus B'chol. We cannot start fresh from ourselves and receive Kedusha and Nevuah and everything else if we look at ourselves as a new beginning of connection to Ribbono Shel Olam. But if we connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam through the previous generations, through the Kadmonim, and say we are following on from the Nevuah that they had, we can have Nevuah in Golus as well. Doesn't mean Nevuah. What it does mean is that we can be inspired to be in the same level of connecting with Ribbono Shel Olam if we connect ourselves with those people who are great in the previous generations. So, in other words, this is the third lesson. The third lesson is that we need Mesirah. That in order for a person to survive in Golus, one needs Mesirah. One needs Mesirah to connect with the previous generations and understand that on ourselves, on our own backs, we have no Koyches Bechlal. That the Nevuah, we can continue the Nevuah that we have from previous generations. That is the Koyach of Klal Yisrael today. And that's why the Mesirah is so important. Sorry? No. It's the third derech of surviving Golus. Now, there is a... I don't know whether you have, see if you have time for this, but there's a fascinating... At the end of the parashah, also connects with this. I don't know if any of you have ever thought about this, but I always had this difficult, and this year I spent a little bit of time investigating this, and I found six peshatim in this. The parasha at the end of Perek Mem Zayin, it discusses Yosef's plans of redistribution, of people moving from place to place, and this and that. So on heavy Isla or Mixe Gibbon Mitzrayim, as could say you put people from one place to the other. So the Posuk in Perek Mem Zayin, Posuk Chof Beis, Rak Admas HaGoyim Leikono. He never bought Admas HaGoyim. Ki Choyk LeKoyinim Be'ez Paroi, it's a Choyk of Koyinim from Paroi, Ve'ochlis Kol Chukam Ashnos Nehem Paroi, and they ate all the Chukam the Paroi. Give to them, you mean in other words, they lived off taxes. Al Kain Leimochlis Admosom. And therefore, they did not sell the land. In other words, everybody who wanted to buy bread, they took away the land. The Koinim lands was not taken away. Yeah. And then the Prophet says again, Vayoshem Oyse Yoyse Prophet Chavo, Lachoyk Ad Oyla Ad Hayoyim Azel, Admas Mitzrayim, to the land of Mitzrayim, the Paroi, the Choymesh, Admas HaKoyim Avadom, the Hoysel of Paroi. Yeah, and but beside the land of... Who cares about these priests? Gain some leverage. Let them mummish, jump up a cliff. What do we care about this Admas HaKoyinim? Twice in the Pasuk. And therefore Yosef cared about the Koyinim. Yeah, and he didn't take away their land. And then later on, you should know Yosef put down the Koyinim. We're dealing with a bunch of Odeh Avodah Zarah. People who, you know, who bowed down to little Buddha. Right?
Wait, these aren't our Koyinim?
No, they're talking about Egyptian Koyinim. People who bow down to sheep. Right? Sheep with a big, you know. What's it all about? Yeah, far more black sheep was there, great Avodah Zarah, you know, with it bowed, and the Koyanim, and therefore the Koyanim, who cares about this Koyanim? Bunch of maniacs. He did this, and therefore Torah goes by, get about the Koyanim, two psukim in the Torah. Rabbi Yisrael, we learn whole Hilchus Bava Kama sometimes, broke him over Kama for one psuk in the Torah, and here we get two psukim about some Baba black sheep Koyanim. What sheikhs do we have in this parasha? So it's all six pshatim. Put them very, very briefly. A lot of them have a tremendous, tremendous depth to them. The Targum Yonason says that the Koinim Yosef did was a show of a Karas HaTov. When he had his whole story with the wife of Potipharah's wife, Potiphar wasn't convinced that Yosef was guilty, so he took it to the Koinim. Took it to the priests, let them judge it, and they found him innocent. So Yosef, as an act of a Karas HaTov, he made all these laws for the Koinim because it basically saved his life. And therefore he put down his laws of HaKadosh HaTov inside their main law books in order to show the importance of a Korah Sotot. That is the target. Yes, yeah. That's the Targum Yonasan brings down in two places. Okay? That's Rishonim, right? The Chizkun is also Rishon. He says that you go to any of these mosques, right? You start, go to any of these mosques and you know how these priests say they get people worked up and angry and everything else. So Yosef said, you know what? If I'm moving people from place to place in Mitzrayim, I've got to make at least the Kohenim happy. Because if the Kohenim aren't happy, then I've got to make a revolution here. So let them keep their piece of land and let everyone else have a problem, because at least the rabble rousers are kept quiet. That's the Chizkunis Pshat. The Sefer Chassidim brings down that it was a kavod of his father-in-law. It says Osnas Bas Potiphera Kohen Oin. It's a Kohen Oin. It was a kavod for his father-in-law, that his father-in-law shouldn't lose his home. He can't just make his father-in-law not lose his home. So he made everything, everyone not lose his home, because of the kavod of his father-in-law. But not like Rashi, because Rashi said his Kohen Oin does not mean he's a Kohen. Rashi said it was Shorora. That's the Sefer Chassidim. The Maral Diskin brings down from the Rambam in Hilchos Ritzeach. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Ritzeach that a person who goes into Golus, a person who calls B'Shegeg, says the Rambam that not only does he go to Golus, but he takes his Rabbi with him. Takes his Rebbe with him. Why? Because the Balamusa goes to town on this, and Balamusa say, because a person who doesn't have his Rebbe, Kamesim Yechshavu, and is a Chiyut, he's going to live by you, and it's not as if he's dead, he doesn't have his Rebbe, right? So Maral Diskin, that Yosef wanted everyone to feel really in Golus, in order that when his brothers come, they shouldn't feel in Golus more than anybody.